Alrighty, Haxamea. Wow. Here we are, right? The beginning of the Shemitah, 2022, Yom Teruah. And Haxamea to everybody who is watching with us today. The name of this message is called Haxamea Shana Shemitah, the year of the Shemitah. So today is Yom Teruah 222, like I just said, the beginning of the Shemitah year and the seventh year of the cycle. And like I've always said before, the holy days are a clock in the sky to tell us how close we are to the end of Satan's rule and the Jubilee year, because we have seven sevens and then the Jubilee and Yahweh's kingdom to this earth. So I want to start in Leviticus 25 and read here about the Shemitah. And Yahweh spoke to Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I am giving to you, then the land shall keep a Sabbath to Yahweh. You shall sow your field 6 years, and you shall prune your vineyard 6 years, and you shall gather its produce. And in the seventh year," that's starting today, right? Last night at sunset. "In the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest to the land, a Sabbath to Yahweh. You shall not sow your field," right? You're not to put any seeds, plants, anything in the ground. "And you shall not prune your vineyard." We don't do any pruning in this year. "You shall not reap the harvest which grows of itself of your harvest," right? Fruit trees or whatever grows. What does he mean by reaping the harvest? You're not to take it all at once. Why? Because it's for food for everyone. So you could take it, as we're going to see, whenever you want. You can take of your whatever is growing. You just don't harvest it. You don't take everything for you. "And you shall not gather the grapes of your unkept vine. It shall be a year of rest to the land. And the Sabbath of the land shall be food for you." So because nobody is harvesting everything, whatever is there is food. So it doesn't matter whose land it's on, because Yahweh owns all the land, right? Leviticus 25:23, "The land is mine," Yahweh says, "don't sell it in perpetuity." So this in the Shemitah shows that all land belongs to Yahweh. Nothing belongs to us. So anything where you're walking on the roadside, you know, that you wanted to pick a piece of fruit or like the disciples grabbed grain and ate it in their fingers, you can do that. "And the Sabbath of the land shall be for you, for food to you and to your male slave, your female slave, your hired one, your tenant, and those living among you, to your livestock and to the animal in the field, the animal in your land, and all its produce shall be for food." So very, very simple. It's not, you know, there are a lot of really good questions that come up about can you do this or can't you do that, but it's very simple. It has to deal with allowing not just the dirt to replenish, but allowing the land to grow naturally the way it should. And that's why we don't prune, we don't harvest, and we don't plant. But anytime you want to go out and eat, you can. You know, so if you have an almond tree, doesn't mean you go out and pick one almond. You know, you can go out there and pick 30 almonds in a little cup or whatever, but you don't pick because there's thousands of them. If you have 5 almond trees, you might have 10,000 almonds. You just pick what you need, but you leave it for other people so that everyone in the Shemitah land, poor, rich, or whatever, it shows equality of everyone, and it shows that all the land is Yahweh's, and Yahweh will take care of his people, and Yahweh will do that. So, considering everything happening in the world today, you know, setting up for the Mark of the Beast system, that's pretty much already here now with the QR code in place, I personally believe that this Shemitah year is vital to fully keeping it in faith and to trust the word of Yahweh to protect, provide for the seventh year and beyond. So this isn't just about the Shemitah. We see the times we're living in. We see what we went through the last 3 years with COVID. We see who would have ever thought that they would have locked down the world, that they would have locked people in their houses, and that you couldn't even go and buy food, you know, without that QR code, without the vaccination. But we lived it. We've all lived this the last couple of years. So this Shemitah is really a time to see, are we going to trust in Yahweh for providing for us or not? Because I've said this before, if you can't make it through the Shemitah, Number one, it shows you that your life is too much in the world, you know, because the Walmart isn't part of the Shemitah, you know, plan, or it's not part of Yahweh's plan in general. And if you're living at Walmart, and that's basically where you are 6 days a week, then you're not going to make it so great in the Shemitah year. But the Shemitah is about understanding, is Yahweh our provider or not, and is he providing for us? In Leviticus 25, because the first thing that new people say, well, how can you survive? How can you eat, you know, without being able to go to Walmart and get all our things? The, you know, you had in ancient times the false god of Baal and the false god of Chemosh. Today we have the false god of Walmart. You know, that's like, it literally, people don't realize it, but it is their god if that's what they're trusting on, you know, or Costco for all the things that they're getting. But when people ask, how do they survive? Let's read it. And when you say, what shall we eat in the seventh year? For lo, we may not sow nor gather or increase. Then I've commanded my blessing on you in the sixth year, and it shall produce the increase for 3 years. And you shall sow the eighth year and shall eat of the old crop until the ninth year. Until the coming of its crop, you shall eat of the old. So, wow. And I can say the last time, the last Shemitah was Yahweh just revealed to us right before the Shemitah started how you're supposed to keep it. And we shouldn't be buying fresh produce in supermarkets that was planted, you know, and harvested in the Shemitah year. And we really had no time to prepare. And it was amazing how Yahweh took care of us. Even for the fact, like you said, we were away on a mission trip for whatever it was, 1 or 2 months. And we come home and we open our refrigerator and I'm wondering, what on earth is this? I see all this like vine growing out of the refrigerator. And what was it? It was potatoes. We left a few old potatoes in the refrigerator and Yahweh grew them in our refrigerator. And we had them all coming out of the refrigerator. We had hundreds of cherry tomatoes just growing on the side of the road in front of the house. And so many things like that. And so many miracles, I say, that I've heard from brethren around the world during the last Shemitah, and I'm sure we're going to hear it this Shemitah. But this Shemitah, we knew better. I've been talking about this now, not just for 1 year, probably the last 2 years or longer. And we knew better. We know the times we're going into. We see what's going on in world events. And I believe the Shemitah is a blessing for us that we're preparing now, because Yahweh says, if you prepare in the sixth, you'll prepare for 3 years. Well, how long is the tribulation? 3 years. You know, so who knows when that's coming or when it's starting. But it's really interesting that Yahweh blesses you with that. And I know he's blessed us with our preparation, that we trusting in him. We're not preppers, I try to tell people. But we are, you know, trusting in him in faith. And that's the reason why we're preparing, because he says to. And he says, whatever you put your hand to in the sixth year that just ended, that he'll bless us for 3 years. And now we're in the Shemitah. Now it's the time that we stop. Now it's the time we did everything we could do, and now it's stop and let Yahweh take over. And Yahweh will bless us from here. And Yahweh will do all the things from here. So if we believe in faith, Yahweh will actually bless the sixth year to provide for the sixth, the seventh, the eighth, even going into the ninth. You know, like I said, three, the number of resurrection, but also the number of years in the tribulation. So who knows? Very interesting. We know the cycle of seven, the Shemitah cycle, by the history I just put out, the Remnant's Walk and also Lesson 26, all on the Shemitah. I think I've answered most questions. I don't think you ever answer everything, but most questions. So anybody that may be hearing this that still has questions, please go read. Read that. That's the reason why. You know, when I do a lesson, I put at least 50 to 60 man hours into that in research and studying and trying to put it in all right. And I believe 25, now 26 lessons that we have are just gold, especially with new people. And we have new congregations coming up everywhere, you know, all over Africa, different places. We have a lot of new congregations that are coming up. And that's the first thing we do. When we have a new congregation, we take the 26 lessons and we teach the people and give a foundation. Last time during Shemitah, there were some in Babylon, even a few of our leaders that refused to keep the Shemitah. And it is a dividing point. I say that the Shemitah in history, it's a time of building nations up for obedience or tearing nations down for disobedience, and the same with people. So the people who refused to keep it wound up leaving the congregation and losing faith and changing their beliefs and not even believing in the name of Yahweh anymore, and all kinds of heresy that comes from there. So this is serious, especially this one. As like I said, because you have seven sevens in the Jubilee, and at the Jubilee is what? The Jubilee is when Yeshua is returning. So we don't know. We know this isn't the first seven or the second or the third. It's at least the fifth, probably the sixth, but we don't know. We might have one more seven left. We might have two. Nobody knows. But like I said, it's not the first or the second. So if you don't take this serious, because everyone gets more magnified, you're going to be in trouble. And Yahweh is separating the wheat from the tares, as we're going to see. And that could be it. You have to take this serious. So I hope you were blessed by the triple blessing that Yahweh had asked for, that said you can get in this year as we do things. And the other thing is what's really interesting, because we've been preparing even for more than a year. Many of the things that we had stored, particularly oil, had doubled and tripled in price from when we started stocking up on it, And in Africa, because we were thinking we might have to feed tens of thousands of our brethren there. We started buying even 2 years ago or more. We started stocking up on grain. We have thousands of pounds of grain now, because Joseph's storehouse, like it says in Genesis. And that grain has tripled and quadrupled in price. To the point now that our grain is worth hundreds of thousands of dollars that we have. And we didn't pay that much. We paid, maybe we invested whatever it could be, maybe up to $50,000 we invested over the last few years for storing this food. And now it's worth hundreds of thousands of dollars, or more even. Also oil and all the other things that we have there. But the prices, and that's why I told people when I was telling them, stock up. We have a lot of things going on now. The worst that's going to happen is we know prices are going up. You know it. You see it. There's nobody in this world who doesn't know what inflation is doing in the last year to 2 years. And it's not going to stop at this point. So anything that you're stocking up on anyway, you're just having to buy it for half the price that you're going to buy it for later on. So Yahweh is good. And that's why Yahweh is helping his people prepare for this. So I just want to read the paper. I've read it many times about the things that have happened in the last 100 years during Shemitahs. I'm just going to go through very quickly some of the things here to show you, that Shemitah is a time of not just not planning, but it's a time of prophecy. It's a time of world events. Many, many things happen in the Shemitah years. And like I said, countries being built up and countries being torn down and individuals the same way. So many world events, and particularly if we look in the last 100 years, who are most of these world events happening to? It's happening in Israel and it's happening in Babylon. Why? Because the Shemitah has to deal with not only land rest, but release of debts. And who is the big king of the economy in the end time is Babylon, who is America. So we see that America and Israel, most of the world events that are going to happen are surrounded around those two entities. So 1903, right? The Wright brothers fly the first airplane. Shemitah year. 1910, the first kibbutz started in Degania, Israel. 1910, a Shemitah year. And now, when you look at 2015-16, our last Shemitah, we started, our first kibbutzes started then. The end of 14 into 15. So, and then in 15, we really got started with our kibbutzes. So, I find it kind of interesting that the first kibbutz in Israel started in the Shemitah, and the first kibbutz of Yahweh's congregation in the end time started in the Shemitah year. 1917-18, America enters World War I and ends the war, and the Balfour Declaration is signed, right? What does that do? That creates the modern state of Israel, puts the outline for that. 1931-32, the Great Depression begins. Empire State Building finished being built, the tallest building in the world, right? Because what is Shemitah about? It's about building up and tearing down. And how do nations do that? We see this from Genesis 11, from the Tower of Babel, that nations from all the way back to the Tower of Babel, they try to build up towers up to the heavens to show their strength and to show that their power over the power of heaven. It's something that Satan has been doing since the Tower of Babel, and he still does it today. So the Empire State Building in the Shemitah year 31-32, as the Depression is going, the Great Depression, America's building the biggest building in the world at that time. 38-39, World War II begins, and Jews start being taken to concentration camp. 45-46 is the end of World War II. Starts in the Shemitah, ends in the Shemitah. So we see a lot of things that begin in the Shemitah will also end in the Shemitah. First atomic bomb is dropped ever in the history of the world. Killed 500,000 people here in Hiroshima. And the beginning of the last generation, right? The United Nations is formed in 1945, a Shemitah year. The International Monetary Fund is formed in 1945. The World Bank is formed in 1945. All these things happen in 1945 as the beginning of the last generation starts. 1952-1953, the Israeli war with the Arabs happens in that year. And the Korean War ends. DNA is discovered in that Shemitah year. And also something that's pertinent to just the last few weeks, Queen Elizabeth is coronated in that Shemitah year. 1959-1960, the most powerful earthquake that ever hit, 9.1 hits in Chile, and nine nations gained their independence. Remember, building up and tearing down, Nigeria and all these nations in Africa, including even Cyprus, was created as a nation in 1960. Nine nations were created at that time and got their independence because building up, tearing down. 1966-67, Six-Day War, right? The first heart transplant takes place, and the building begins on the World Trade Center. Now it's the Twin Towers, right? Same way Babylon does everything, and Babylon's going to get double punishment. They're building double towers because they're going to be by far the greatest entity financially and militarily that the world has ever seen. 1973-74, Yom Kippur War. Roe versus Wade, abortion becomes legal, right? As we're going to see now, it's repealed, also as the Shemitah is beginning. Richard Nixon resigns. World Trade Center 2 is finished, becomes the tallest building in the world. 1980-81, the Iran hostage. Ronald Reagan becomes president. Mount St. Helens erupts, right? And the start of the AIDS crisis. 1987-88 is the Black Monday. You know, a lot of Shemitah has to do with finances. Why? Because if you don't release your debts, you're not going to be blessed in people and nations. So stock market crash, Black Monday, Madrid conference, and the beginning of making a Palestinian state also happens. And the first Antifada, the first Arab uprising against Israel, happens in the Shemitah year. 94-95, ratification of Oslo, the Oslo Agreement, giving away the land. That's not going to be something good, right? And what happens? Yitzhak Rabin is assassinated. Building up, tearing down. Oklahoma City bombing also happens at that time. 201-202, the World Trade Center falls. It's planned in the Shemitah, it's built in the Shemitah, it's finished in the Shemitah, took exactly 7 years to build it, and now it falls in the Shemitah. Biggest stock market drop on record also happened in the Shemitah. 2008-2009, on Elul 29, that's the last day, that was ended yesterday and the new day began. Elul 29, the last day of the 6th month, is when all the debts are supposed to be released. They were supposed to happen yesterday. And what happens, they had the biggest stock market crash on record up to that point, 2008-2009. How many points did it drop? 777.7. Tell me that's not Yahweh showing something, right? And it's the beginning of the Great Recession back then. All the banks were collapsing, everything. 2015-2016, where I thought financially was really going to be the nail in the coffin. But what happens? President Trump gets elected, and the American economy turns around, and they wind up having the best economy they ever had. And the Joseph's dream, the 7 good years started and the 7 bad years. And I believe we're heading into those 7 bad years now. So these 7 good years are finished. And now we're going into the 7 bad years. And again, first kibbutz that we started with Congregation of Yahweh in that year. So now 2022, 2023, what's going to happen in this Shemitah? Well, let me just share some of the things that have already happened as the Shemitah is just beginning, right? Roe versus Wade is repealed, the abortion law. So the abortion law was made in the Shemitah, and now it's repealed in the Shemitah. Joe Biden, released all the student loan debt last month, interesting enough, which is, good thing. A lot of people don't like it, though, for other reasons. And Queen Elizabeth dies. She was coronated. And I was saying this last year, in the summer actually, I was in Babylon and I was giving different Bible studies. And I was saying, I wasn't predicting her death, although it's not that hard when somebody's 96. I don't think you have to be a big prophet for that. But at the same rate, I was saying I did not believe she would be in office through the Shemitah. That to me was 100% evident because she was 10 Shemitahs. 10 is the number of incomplete government, and the royal family are involved with Freemasonry and a lot of, you know, this international and global government. They're the head of the Committee of 300 and many other things. I'm going to talk about this at Sukkot. But I was pretty sure Queen Elizabeth, if she wasn't dead, would have abdicated the throne and given over. But she did. Exactly 10 Shemitahs. 70 years, which is another very prophetic number. I'll talk about it at Sukkot. She passes away. And we have a new king now. Or we don't, but England does. And actually, King Charles wants to be king of all of Europe and king of the world. So I'll talk about King Charles because there's a lot of things with him. He was involved with Oslo. That peace process, he was a big part of that peace process. And many people, years back, 20 years ago, thought he was the anti-Messiah. There's a very good book called The Antichrist in the Cup of Tea that wrote and told many things about Prince Charles then, King Charles now. But that happened, which I think is a pretty big thing that's happened. And then also, starting on September 16th, right, just 10 days ago, the stock market had the seventh worst day they've ever had in their history. I think it was close to 1,400 points, seventh, right? It's the Shemitah. But it was also the seven-day worst period in their history. So the one day was the seventh worst day. But leading up to that, from there, the 7 days were the worst 7 days combined in the history of the stock market. And here we are, the Shemitah is just beginning. You know, it's only just beginning. And what else is going on? Putin is threatening, Vladimir Putin is threatening nuclear war. And just a couple of days ago, he came out and said, I'm not bluffing. And who knows? Only Yahweh knows. But to me, I think it's got to be at least a 50% chance that we could have nuclear war this year. I'm not predicting it. I'm just saying he's saying it. He's saying it more than once. And when you look at what's happening in the world, here we see, you know, between all these things with COVID and world war and the famine, all of them are predicting. And it's already started. There's already places in Africa which already started that by this winter, they're predicting hundreds of millions of people are going to starve to death. Because of all different reasons why this has happened. China and in India, several months back, have stopped any exporting of food because they said they don't even have enough for their own countries. And this is, you know, China and in India is about 40% of the world right there just with those two countries. In America, you know, many of the places they were storing food were burned. There was like 100 different food storages that got burned. And farmers, I heard the interviews with my own ears, were telling the farmers were being told, either burn your food or we're not going to pay for it. So the American government was paying for the food and then burning it. You know, and unfortunately, it's not like it was years ago or even, you know, still in Israel and different places where you have local markets and the farmer can bring his food and sell. In America, you have one big conglomerate. You bring your food there and you sell it on a national level. So we have all kinds of things that could be happening this year. And you know, it's a year of building up and it's a year of tearing down. And like I said, not only for nations, for people, which would make us think, since Yahweh will multiply us, you know, tenfold, 50-fold, 100-fold for what we can put in, wow, what a great year it would be to dedicate this year to Yahweh. So the food famine is already starting. Nuclear war, like I said, threatened. Russia is also mobilizing 1 million troops, and the Federal Reserve Bank and other global leaders, the World Economic Forum, have started planning for the financial collapse. Joe Biden signed a executive order 1 or 2 months ago stating for the Federal Reserve he wants a digital currency in America within the next 12 months, so we will see. And with a $31 trillion debt, see, for most people, they don't care. If I said America's $100 trillion in debt, or if I said they're $500 trillion in debt, or if I said they're what does it mean? What does it mean? Because a trillion isn't a real number. Nobody even understands what a trillion dollars is. Because you think, okay, yeah, I know a million, and then a billion, and then a trillion. No, a trillion is like so much more. You know, it's like they say, if you had dollar bills stacked as high as a million, you could have it as high as the Empire State Building. If you had $1 billion, you know, you could go like, across America with that money stacked. But if you had $1 trillion, you can go 2.5 times around the world. You know, it's so much more money. It's not even a real number because, you know, what we use. But they're just about $31 trillion in debt. And as that interest rate keeps rising at 4 to 5%, 100% of the money coming in taxes in their GDP, their gross domestic product, what they're selling, can't even pay for the debt. And that's one of the reasons why, since the 2008-2009 crisis, interest rates have been at zero. It's never been that way before. And why all of a sudden now are they raising rates exponentially? Because they're planning. They're planning this. So you don't have to be a genius. You just have to look at what's happening and let the Spirit of Yahweh guide you to see. But, get ready. You know, get ready for what's happening. So I think it's such a blessing that the Shemitah came now. And like I told people, don't just plan for 1 year. If you can, try to store for 2 years, 3 years, you know, if you can. The tribulation is 3 years as much as possible. So again, the collapse of the money is planned. With the QR code, get ready, because when the digital currency comes, unless you have the QR code and eventually the chip that they're going to put in, you will not be able to get money from banks. You will not be able to buy and sell. And COVID was a test. We already saw it. That's the scary part. Once they implemented that, and we in our life, we could not go to a supermarket without a vaccine. We want your papers. Did you take the vaccine or you don't get food? So they were testing it. We have this little bit now where, praise Yahweh that they've taken away some of those restrictions, but don't kid yourself and think things are going back to normal, because from Klaus Schwab himself, the head of the World Economic Forum, he said, you're foolish if you think it's ever going back to that. So I want to continue now, because it is the feast of Yom Terah, the feast of clamoring, but it does talk about blowing trumpets in this day. Leviticus 23, 23 through 25. And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first of the month, today, a holy day Sabbath shall be to you a memorial acclamation of resounding of trumpets, a holy gathering. You shall do no laborious work, and you shall bring a fire offering to Yahweh. Wow. So here we are. It's a day of noise. It's a day of blowing of trumpets. It's a day of celebration, if you're on the right side of that. Revelation 10, in verse 5 through 7. And the cherub whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land lifted his eyes to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created the heaven and the things in it, and the earth and the things in it, and the sea and the things in it, that there shall no longer be reckoning of time. There will no longer be reckoning of time. But in the days of the voice of the seventh cherub, whenever he is about to trumpet, what was even ended the mystery of Elohim, as he proclaimed to his servants, the prophets, right? So the seventh trumpet, this is the feast of trumpets, not just trumpet. And although we know that primarily this is the day that signifies the return of Yeshua, because we'll read this, he's going to return at the last trump. But there's seven trumpets and there's many other things that are going to happen during that time. But Revelation 19, verse 11 through 16. Revelation 19, 11 through 16. He says, and I saw heaven being opened, and behold, a white horse, and he's sitting on it, having been called faithful and true, and he judges and makes war in righteousness. So we said the white horse of the four horsemen of Revelation, the first white horse is not Yeshua. The first white horse is false something, false religion, false peace. Like we said, false plandemic. You know, I was saying how it's very interesting how You know, when you're looking at Dr. Fauci, right, who was one of the leaders of this lie and the false pandemic, and what happens, he wears a white coat. You know, comes in the doctors wear their white coat. So we see that, but Yeshua comes with the real white horse. And his eyes were like a flame of fire, and his head were many crowns and many titles written on it. And one of the titles that had been written, no man knew but him himself. And having been clothed in a garment which had been dipped in blood, his name is called the Word of Yahweh. And the armies in heaven followed him on white horses, being dressed in fine linen, white and pure. And out of his mouth goes forth a sharp sword, that with it he might smite the nations. And he will shepherd them with an iron rod. And he treads the winepress of the wine of the anger of the wrath of Yahweh Almighty. And he has on his garment and on his thigh a name having been written, King of Kings and Master of Masters, right? So this day represents also the seventh trumpet, the day Yeshua returns to this earth, and every eye will see him as he's coming down. He's going to fight his enemies. We're going to meet him in the air, as I'll read in a little bit. And wow. And then the day of new beginnings, right? So Yom Teruah really is a day of new beginnings. This time, this year, it's a new beginning with the Shemitah, which is really, really important. But it's a day of new beginnings also when the year comes in just a few short years, that all of a sudden the earth is going to hear this sound. They're not going to know. It's going to hear this loud noise, and it's going to be the trumpet of the seventh cherub and Yeshua coming down, and the believers leaving these mortal bodies and going up and getting a glorified body. Wow, how great. So what I want to go over now is, it's the Feast of Trumpets, five reasons why a trumpet is blown in Scripture. So there's five different reasons, and I think they're all important for this day, since it's the Hagim of trumpets. Number one, the first reason a trumpet is blown, Psalm 81:3. Blow the ram's horn in the new moon, on the covered moon on our feast day. The word is keseh. Blow the ram's horn in the new moon, on the covered moon. So that's just the way it is. It's the one scripture in all the Bible that tells us exactly when the new moon is, right? Blow the trumpet on the new moon. When is the new moon? On the covered moon. The word is keseh. That word literally means, in Hebrew, they use that word for like a garbage can lid when it's covering the can. It means to cover, to fully cover. So I don't know how else you can get this. So how on earth would people be going by a crescent? I don't know. Tradition, false information, ignorance. But very clearly, Scripture says, blow the trumpet at the new moon, on the covered moon, on our feast day. So the trumpet announces a new moon. The most ancient calendar in Israel is by the Samaritans. And what a lot of people don't know is the Samaritans, who the priests are actually Levites. They're not even Samaritans like you think of that are non-Israelite, but they're actually Levites who blended in with them. The one man who's the head Levite there is a good friend of mine, a Samaritan, Hosni. And they actually go by conjunction. They have the oldest calendar, because remember, the Jews were out of the land for hundreds and hundreds of years. And then when they came back in the 12th century, you know, they were trying to figure things out. And a lot of things they got wrong because things were changed in the diaspora. For the Samaritans, they never changed. And they always went by the dark of the moon, the conjunction, to start the month. And I think it's a good day just to mention this now, because let's say you're going by crescent. You think the crescent starts the month. Well, last night, right, at sunset started the holy day. So sunset came, you know, roughly 6:41 was sunset. And at sunset, when sunset comes, the holy day starts. But if you're waiting for a crescent, you have to wait 1 or 2 hours. The crescent doesn't come right at 6, maybe even 6:45, whatever it was, when the day starts. But the crescent comes 1 or 2 hours later. So now it's sunset and you don't know if it's the holy day. So what do you do? Yahweh would never do that. That in itself, the fact that there's an actual Sabbath that starts on a new moon, and you need to know whether that is the Sabbath or not. There's no way, because after 2 hours, say, okay, we can't see the crescent. I guess it's tomorrow. Oh, we see the crescent. It really is the holy day. Yahweh would never do it that way. And the other thing is, what if it's cloudy? What if you really would have saw the crescent, but it was cloudy? You have to postpone it a day. So, you know, again, that's another message. It's not for today, but just to mention why in biblical times, without a shadow of a doubt, we have lessons so much on this on the calendar, but the day did start at conjunction. It did not start until after the Babylonian captivity that they start using the crescent for the beginning of the month. And we know today they use it for many things, Islam and certain things with secret societies and all the other kinds of things. So the second thing that why a trumpet is blown, Ezekiel 33, 1 through 11, is to announce danger or war. To announce danger or war. Ezekiel 33. Through 11. And the word of Yahweh was to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the sons of your people and say to them, When I bring the sword on it, on a land, and take one man from the people of the land, their borders, from the people of the land, their borders, and set him for a watchman to them. And when he sees the sword coming on the land, and he blows the ram's horn and warns the people, and the hearer hearing the sound of the ram's horn and does not take warning, and the sword comes and takes him, his blood shall be on his own head. He heard the sound of the ram's horn, he took no warning. His blood shall be on himself, but he who took the warning, he shall deliver his soul. So right, here it is, when problems are coming, danger or war, he's blowing the shofar. But if the watchman sees the sword coming, does not blow the ram's horn, the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes the soul from them, he is taken in his iniquity, but I will require his blood from the watchman's hand. And you, son of man, I gave you as a watchman to the house of Israel. And you shall hear the word from my mouth and warn them from me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked one, surely you shall die, and do not speak to warn the wicked one from his way, that wicked one will die in his iniquity, but I will require his blood from your hand. But you, if you warn the wicked from his way to turn from it, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. And you, son of man, say to the house of Israel, this you have spoken, saying, Surely our transgressions and our sins are on us, and we are rotting in them. Even then shall we live? Say to them, As I live, declares Adonai Yahweh, I do not have delight in the death of the wicked, except in the wicked turning from his way, and so to live. Turn from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? That's why I said, it's the year of release. This is the year where we can leave anything in your life that needs to go, anything that you want to change, any sin that could have crept up in your life you want to get rid of. This is the time to do it in the year of release. And, you know, again, blowing the trumpet for announcing danger or war, the watchman must blow the alarm to warn the people. What's interesting is, and this is all in my book, The Chosen People, the Israelites are all over the world. I mean, they're all the way. They're in Asian countries. They're in Africa, South America, you name it. All over the world are Israelites. And I believe many people, probably 60, 70%, maybe even 80% of the true covenant believers today are Israelite in heritage. You know, with the others being Gentiles grafted in, it doesn't make a difference to Yahweh, but it has to do with his plan of salvation, of working with the nation of Israel first. But the majority of these Israelites are in America, Babylon, and Europe. You know, my guess is, I've always said, there must be at least 100 million Israelites living in America. And we know in Europe, many of the countries, like the tribe of Dan, going to Dansmark or Densmark. We know Ireland also, you know, has the tribes that are over there. We know France traditionally has been from the tribe of Reuben, and many of the areas there in Europe. And what's interesting now is what I'm going to read to you. I'm going to read you for the end time. These are prophecies of the end time to the Israelites, not in Israel, because the Israelites are not living in Israel. The Jews, one tribe, Judah, is living in Israel right now. maybe with a few different tribes that are there. There are some of the tribes who assimilated with Judah and, wound up becoming more of their tribe, just like Ruth did. You know, when Ruth was from the tribe of Reuben and she wound up becoming part of the tribe of Judah. But the majority of Israelites are certainly not living in Israel today. They're living in diaspora in the nations. And there's prophecies to them that I'm going to read you now that I believe we're at the point where these things are going to start happening now. And this Shemitah is a time of building up and a time of tearing down. Well, really look out, particularly financially, because Europe and America, since the beginning of this end time, they've been not only the financial capital of the world, but especially Babylon, America, they've been the pleasure seeking. That's where all the technology has come out, all these things. And I believe, if not the fall of Babylon coming in the very near future, at least I believe economically you're going to see this. They're already getting away from the dollars, the reserve currency. And I believe Europe too. And I believe this Shemitah, year of building up, year of tearing down, that this Shemitah financially could be the worst year that the developed world, that America and Europe has seen since the beginning of these end times in 1945. Already we know Putin is cutting off the gas to Europe. We already see inflation soaring, and prices skyrocketing. So as I read this, think about this, because as I'm going to read it, you're going to see it's not to the Israelites in Israel, because Ezekiel, when is Ezekiel writing this? He's writing this in 573 BC. When did Israel go into captivity? They went into captivity 740 to 720, 150 years before this. So this is certainly not to the nation of Israel in Israel, as we're going to see. It's to the Israelites in their diaspora, and it's all end time. So let's go to Ezekiel 2. Ezekiel chapter 2. Ezekiel chapter 2. He says, "And he said to me," verse 1, "Son of man, stand on your feet, I will speak to you. And the Spirit entered into me as he spoke to me, and he made me stand on my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. And he said to me, Son of man, I am sending you to the sons of Israel, to the nations. I am sending you to the sons of Israel, not in the land of Israel, not in their homeland, of the tribe of Dan near the border and the tribe of Ephraim, the motherland there in the middle of the country. No, I'm sending you to the sons of Israel, to the nations. And the rebelling ones who have rebelled against me, they and their fathers have transgressed against me to this day." And if you look, and governments and also religion-wise, that America and Europe, the first world countries you could say, and you could throw in there Australia and these, they're all part of that British Commonwealth, that these people have been the most, prideful, self-willed, unsubmissive spirit, in the country as a whole, and in the religions that they have there. If you look at these religions, they're not like what you see in the third world, where people are willing to sacrifice, they're willing to, to do anything. And that's why, I can go to Africa and I can talk to 500 people and they could, all of them can come to faith in a 2-hour message. Where in the first world, that happens very, very rarely. Although I do have to say, being in Babylon this summer, I was highly encouraged talking to different Christians there that really were open-minded and looking for truth. And a lot of what I was talking about was actually the Shemitah and other things going with it. But we see that this is the messages to the rebelling ones in the nations, the Israelites, where they are. Like I said, there's Israelites everywhere. There's Israelites in Asia. There's Israelites in China. There's Israelites, in Thailand. There's Israelites everywhere. But the majority of these Israelites, where they migrated to, and again, I have it in my book, the majority of them have migrated to Europe and Babylon, USA. "And the sons are stiff of face," verse 4, "and of heart. I am sending you to them, and you shall say to them, So says Adonai Yahweh. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house. Yea, they shall know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them in their words. Do not be afraid, through briars and thorns are with you," right? What does Yahweh say with Adam, his job? Through thorns and thistles, briars and thorns, he would have trouble. And it's the same thing here, the parable of the sower and the seed, the cares of the world and riches, the briars and thorns. So don't be afraid, through briars and thorns are with you. And though you are living among scorpions, do not be afraid of their words and do not be frightened by their faces, though they are a house of rebellion. And you shall speak my words to them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are rebellious, right? Laodicean. This is the Laodicean attitude. Rich and increased with good, in need of nothing. They think they know everything. But Yahweh is saying, share with them, they need to repent. So I believe this day, today, the beginning of the Shemitah year, it's also a time of great repentance that all of us need. We need to be turning back to our relationship with Yahweh. We need to be putting Him first in our life. And we need to be repenting for things where we've been falling short. Chapter 3 and verse 4. He says, and he said to me, son of man, go, come to the house of Israel and speak my words to them. Right? And where are they? In the nations. In the nations. For you are not sent to a people of deep lip and difficult of language, but to the house of Israel, in the nations. Not too many people of deep lip and a difficult language, whose words you cannot hear. If I had sent you to them, they would have listened to you. But the house of Israel is not willing to listen, for they are not willing to listen to me. For all the house of Israel is strong of forehead and hard of heart. Behold, I have made your face stronger over against their faces, and your forehead strong over against their foreheads. I have made your forehead as an adamant harder than flint. Do not fear them. Do not be frightened by their faces, though they are a house of rebellion. And he said to me, son of man, all my words which I speak to you, receive in your heart and hear with your ears, and go. Come to the exiles of the sons of your people and speak to them and say, so says Adonai Yahweh, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. So this is what Yahweh says. We go to Ezekiel 3, 16 through 21. Drop down just to verse 16 there. And it happened at the end of 7 days, right? The number 7 again. Even it happened that the word of Yahweh came to me saying, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. And hear the word of my mouth and warn them from me. In my saying to the wicked, surely you will die, and you do not warn him, and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, he, the wicked, shall die in his iniquity, but I will require his blood at your hand. And you, because you have warned the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his way, he, the wicked, will die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. And when the righteous turns from his righteousness and does injustice, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, since you have not warned him. He will die in his sin, and his righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered, but I will require his blood at your hand. But you, because you warned him, the righteous, so that the righteous should not sin, and he does not sin, surely he will live because he is warned, and you have delivered your soul. So I say this, in the end time, the warning isn't to convert people. The warning is to give an end warning, because Yahweh always warns people before judgment comes. Some are going to hear, but many in the end time we know are not going to hear. So we have to make sure, though, that this message is going out, and it's a message to us first, right? It's a message to the congregation first. You know, like it says in the book of Peter, judgment begins, and where does it begin? At the house of Yahweh. So, of repentance, and like I say in Revelation, there are 7 congregations there, and except for Philadelphia, everyone says they need to repent. So it's a time where we have to be looking in our hearts and we have to see where we're falling short and we need to be changing in this time because I'm telling you, this Shemitah is a dividing year. This Shemitah is a real dividing year and as you're going to start seeing things happening in the world and the big thing is, wow, if there's an Elohim in heaven, how could he allow this? Because he allowed 6,000 years of man's chaos, man's rebellion, man fighting with each other, man killing each other, man being selfish and prideful and not even wanting to admit that Yahweh exists. And now the time is done. Now it's time for Yahweh's witness to go out. And then it's time for his wrath to come on the earth. And it's time for his kingdom to come. And that's why I say it's Yom Teruah. It's a time of clamoring. And when Yeshua returns, there's going to be happy and people. And yes, woohoo, yeah. And there's going to be people screaming and yelling that are being dragged to the lake of fire. You know, but that day, this is not the year he's returning. You know, it's a year in the future. And we know, because tribulation hasn't even started, we know it's got to be at least 3-4 years. You know, and like I said, if Shemitah and everything, probably 7-8 years minimum, maybe even 15 years, who knows. But all we know is it's not this year, so we have time. But this is the year that from today, that we could start to change. We could start to get back to where we need to be. Matthew 7 and verse 13. Because the road from here on end is going to get narrower and narrower. The road from here on end will get narrower and narrower. Matthew 7 and verse 13. Go in through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many are the ones entering through it. For narrow is the gate and constricted is the way that leads into life, and few are the ones finding it. So this road, you know, like all people wanted when COVID came up for the last couple of years is they want life to go back to normal. But like I said, whatever life has been in this world for 6,000 years or even the last 20, 30, 40 years, it's anything but normal. So as the people of Yahweh, now that we have this little bit of time before the next thing comes in, right? This next restriction. Are we using it to preach the word of Yahweh? Are we using it to bring more sons to salvation? Are we using it to get closer to Yahweh? Are we just using it like, oh, okay. Well, COVID rule is down. Let me just go back to my life. Because we see this, that COVID has made that road more restricted. And if you were for the vaccination, right? And you were for this, all this stuff, your life probably didn't change that much during COVID. You still got locked down and all the other stuff, you know. And if you took the vaccination, your probably life changed a lot. You're probably a lot more sicker. But life changed for the people of Yahweh who didn't go with that system, who put the line in the sand and said, enough is enough. You know what? Man, I should have never got on social media. The devil duped me here. I should have never got involved, you know, with the iPhone. The devil got me there. But no way with this. No way with this vaccination. No way with all this other stuff. But now it's a time where we need to be realizing this road is getting narrower and narrower. And little by little, getting rid of these things in our life that are holding us back from Yahweh. But beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inside are plundering wolves, right? The prosperity, good news. From their fruits you shall know them. Do they gather grapes from thorns? Or figs from thistles, right? The thorns and the thistles again. So every good tree produces good fruit, but the corrupt tree produces evil fruit. And we should be coming out of this world of Satan. That's the whole point of Yahweh blessing us to have communities and set up communities and be able to get out of the world and not have to work in the world, right? So we don't want to be in the thorns and the thistles of society anymore. We want to be coming out and bearing good fruit. A good tree cannot produce evil fruit, nor can a corrupt tree produce good fruit. Every tree not producing good fruit is cut down and is thrown into the fire. Then surely from their fruits you will know them. And it's not that everyone who says to me, Master, Master, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but the ones who do the will of my Father in heaven, right? So there's people who know Yahweh's name. There's people who are Sabbath keepers, but they're not doing the will of Yahweh. They're Laodiceans living their own lives and not bearing fruit for the kingdom of Yahweh. And this is the message that we have. It's a time for total surrender. Yoel 2 and verse 12. Yoel 2 and verse 12. Listen, this time, is he merciful? Of course. Does he have pity on his people? Of course. And he always gives that last chance to change and repent. Yoel 2 and verse 12. Yea, tear your heart and not your robes, and turn to Yahweh your Elohim, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and he pities concerning the evil. Who knows if he will turn and have pity and leave a blessing behind him, a food offering and a drink offering for Yahweh your Elohim. Blow a shofar in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, gather the elders, gather the children and those who suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go out of his room and the bride out of her bridal chamber. Let the priests, ministers of Yahweh, keep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, have pity on your people, O Yahweh, and do not give your inheritance to shame. For a proverb among those of the nations, why should they say among the people, where is their Elohim? Then Yahweh will be jealous for his land and have pity on his people. Yea, Yahweh will answer and say to his people, behold, I will send you grain and wine and oil, and you shall be satisfied with it, and I will no more make you a disgrace among the nations. But I will remove the northern army far from you, and I will drive him into a dry and desolated land, and with a face toward the eastern sea, and his rear toward the western sea. I'll drop right there. So this is a time for total surrender. And like I said, the Laodicean is offended. He's not convicted. The Laodicean is offended. He's not convicted. And this is a time for us to be convicted and changing. And the Shemitah is a time for change. It's a time for change. So the third reason why a trumpet or a shofar is blown in the Bible is to proclaim the inauguration of a king. 1 Kings 1 and verse 32. And King David said, "Call Zadok the priest for me, and Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada." And they came in before the king. And the king said to them, "Take with you the servants of your master, and you shall cause my son Solomon to ride on my mule and cause him to go down to Gihon. And Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet shall anoint him there as king over Israel. And you shall blow with the ram's horn and shout, 'Let King Solomon live!' And you shall come up after him and let him come and sit on my throne, and he shall reign in my place. For I have appointed him ruler over Israel and over Judah." And Benaiah the son of Jehoiada answered the king and said, "Amen. So says Yahweh, the Elohim of my master the king. As Yahweh has been with my master the king, so he will be with Solomon and will make his throne greater than the throne of my master King David." And Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada and the Cherethites and the Pelethites and all went out and caused Solomon to ride on King David's mule and caused him to go to Gihon. And Zadok the priest took the horn of oil out of the tabernacle. You know, where is it? In the city of David, right? In the tabernacle of David. And anointed Solomon. And they blew with the ram's horn, and all the people shouted, "Let King Solomon live." And all the people came up after him, and the people were piping with pipes and rejoicing with great joy. And the earth was torn with their sound. So, wow. Coronation of a king. That's also third reason. Fourth reason why a trumpet or shofar is blown in Scripture is to give praise, to Yahweh. Psalm 98 in verse 1. A psalm. "Oh, sing to Yahweh a new song, for he has done wondrous things. His right hand, his holy arm has saved for him. Yahweh has revealed his Yeshua, his salvation, to the eyes of the nations. He unveiled his righteousness. He has remembered his mercy and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen Aleph Tav Yeshua from our Elohim. Shout joyfully to Yahweh, all the earth. Break out and rejoice and sing praise. Sing praise to Yahweh with the lyre and the lyre and the voice of song. With trumpets and the sound of a horn, shout joyfully before Yahweh the King. Let the sea roar and the fullness of it, the world and those who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands, let the heights shout for joy together. Before Yahweh, for he comes to judge the earth with righteousness, he will judge the world and the people in uprightness." And this is one of our songs from the songbook. "Oh, sing a new song to Yahweh for wonders he has done." But we give praise. You know, that's why I love the songs from the Psalms, because the Holy Spirit actually wrote these songs. And we could sing them to Yahweh. Psalm 140. Psalm 140, we see again. Psalm 150, six verses. "Hallelujah, praise El in his holy place. Praise him in the expanse of his might. Praise him in his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with the timbal and dance. Praise him with strings and pipes. Praise him on the sounding of cymbals. Praise him with the resounding cymbals. Symbols, let everything that breathes praise Yah." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise Yah. That's what hallelujah means. And you see it more times in the book of Psalms than anywhere else. Why? Because the Psalms are praises to Yah. Hallelujah. To praise Yah. So in Scripture, we blow also the trumpet to praise Yah. And the last reason that a trumpet is blown is for the return of the king. The return of the king. And we see in Revelation 11 and verse 15. "And the seventh cherub trumpeted, and there were great rumblings of thunder, saying, 'The kingdoms of this world have become our Elohim's, even of his Messiah, and he shall reign forever and ever.'" So that seventh trumpet is coming, and the king is returning. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 50. 1 Corinthians 15:50. "And I say this, brothers, that flesh and blood is not able to inherit the kingdom of Yahweh, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I speak a mystery to you. We shall not all fall asleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the blinking of an eye, at the last trumpet, for a trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed.
Wow.
So we see at that time when the king is returning, we also will shed these bodies and we'll be with him. Matthew 24, 29 through 31. Matthew 24, 29 through 31. And immediately after the suffering of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give her light. And the stars will fall from the heaven and the powers of the heaven will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the heavens. And then all the tribes of the land will wail. And they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and much glory. And he will send his cherubs with a great sound of a large trumpet. And they will gather his chosen ones from the four winds, from the one end of the sky to the other.
Wow.
So we see it. The trumpet is blown when the Messiah returns. And the last scripture that I'm going to go into here is 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4, 15 through 18. 1 Thessalonians 4, 15. For we say this to you in the word of Elohim, that we the living who remain to the coming of our Master will not at all go before those who have fallen asleep, those who are sleeping in the grave, dead. Because the Master himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout of an archangel's voice and with the trumpet of Yahweh, and the dead in Messiah will rise again first. Then we who remain alive will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet our Master in the air, and so we will always be with our Master. So then comfort each other with these words.
Wow.
Yeshua returning at the last trumpet. And like I said, we have no idea the Shemitah, whether this is the fifth cycle of sevens or the sixth cycle of sevens. We just have no idea. So the Shemitah comes, we know, right before the Jubilee. We know Yeshua has to come in a Jubilee year or right before the Jubilee, let's say. But we just don't know which Shemitah that will be. But we do know that this is definitely a very important Shemitah in the timeline and prophecy. Like I said, today's the first day and all this stuff has already happened. You know, when you go and you look at important things, big things that have happened in the world, you know, and I really believe the Queen passing away is a big one because of Charles, King Charles, that how big he is in the whole global government phase. And like I said, Yahweh willing, I hope to speak on that in a Bible study at Sukkot. But so many things happening now. And like I said, with the possible war, war's already there with Ukraine, but will this go into World War? And only Yahweh knows. Because Yahweh sets the stage, you know, and only he knows what's going to come at that time. But we are already seeing that, boy, is this going to be an important Shemitah. Not only in world events, but in our life. This is a time where, wow, whatever it is in your life that you've been wanting to release, this is the time to do it. This is the time to get closer to Yahweh. This is the time to rededicate yourself to his work, to bear fruit, because we know it's by the fruit we're bearing that you know, we're going to wind up being rewarded for. And we know why Yeshua came in a Shemitah year was so because the people weren't working and they could come and they could hear him. You know, so the Shemitah is a time of great spiritual growth. And although it's not a time for physically growing, it's a time for spiritually growing. So I'd like to ask, which one of those five reasons that I just gave did I blow that horn for? It might be more than one. Yahweh bless. Hak Sameach.